Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for the weather. Lord, we can't wait for it to stop raining. And Lord, we love you and be with the emergency services today and the police and keep them safe. Be with the services today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 343. At the cross. 343.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief I ne'er repeat, the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, is all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. You may be seated. I turn over to 378. 378. It is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, the trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the tribulation shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
Amen. Thank you for your singing.
Thank you, ma'am.
Glad everybody could be here today. Wednesday, April 15th. That's my mom's birthday. It's Wednesday. And Bible preaching and prayer at 7 o'clock with Patch Club. Saturday, April 18th, bus visitation, church-wide operation saturation and soul winning at 10. April 19th, teen supper and silent oxygen fundraiser at 4:45 p.m. and desserts, and the conclusion of the auction after the evening service. Sunday, May 10th, Mother's Day, special music, message, and the gift for all the mothers, and Lone Star Baptist College singing group will be with us that evening also. Sunday, the 24th, May 24th, 4 p.m., afternoon service, followed by a fellowship at Pastor's House or in the fellowship hall, weather permitting. So thank you for being here. And read the pastor's notes in there if you don't have one of these already, and please remember to pray for the people on the back.
Good morning. Welcome to our adult Sunday school class, and today we're going back to the book of Luke. I think we were there last week talking about the road of Emmaus. But today we're going to be in chapter 4, last part of the chapter 4, as we look into the Gospel of Luke. Our Bible study is the Gospel of Luke. And as I said, the Gospel of Luke is one of the synoptic Gospels. That means it's kind of tied to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're the three synoptic Gospels. And John is kind of a standalone Gospel. Matter of fact, in today's lesson, what we're looking at is one of the portions of Scripture here, and the event that's taking place is one that is in three of the Gospels. And so we'll be looking at that in just a little bit. Before we get into it, do pray for Brad Newman. He's back in the hospital. So his situation is he's... he's talking. I communicated with him this morning on the phone, so he's doing all right. So he's was at least talking and everything. So be praying for him. His condition is one of those that you don't know how it's going to go. But anyway, and also pray for my wife. She has had a really bad week. It's just been, she hasn't been out of bed but a couple of times, and she's not feeling well, and she just keeps saying she doesn't feel well. I don't know what it is, what's going on. Her ankle is infected with something, and we keep it cleaned and everything, but it doesn't seem to be healing. And the doctor, the last time she looked at it, said it's just severe arthritis. And I didn't know arthritis could do that, but it ended up being a sore on her ankle there and everything. So I do pray for her. She's just not able to get around. Okay, this morning, I'm sure there's other prayer requests and things. Just keep these two on your heart today. They're going through a lot of trials. So this morning we're looking into the Gospel of Luke here in chapter 4, and we're going to read here in verse 38. Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And it says, "And he arose out of the synagogues and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left. And immediately she arose and ministered to them." So we see the Lord came here. They sought him. They besought him. They asked him, "Lord, she's sick. She's really sick," and asked him to come in. And, you know, so many times, you know, when people are sick, we pray. We do a lot of praying at our house that Lord would touch my wife and help her feel better. And we see the Lord work. We're seeing times when she's able to do things and different things. And the same thing here. They sought him. They knew where to go. The one thing that the apostle, this is Peter, this is very early in the Lord's ministry. Now, they have already, in chapter 4, he had his ministry there in Galilee, where he went to Nazareth, and he preached in the church in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he told them who he was. That was the first part of chapter 4 there, where he told them he'd come for a reason. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him in verse 18 of chapter 4, and it said, "And because he had anointed me to preach," that's God, the Spirit of the Lord, God has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, "and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captivity, and recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So that's what he came there in Nazareth. And we know that when he went into Nazareth, and this was his hometown, they knew him very well and everything. And at the end of this chapter, things didn't quite go as well in Nazareth as they would have liked, because in verse 28, it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they'd heard these things, were filled with wrath." They just didn't believe what he was saying and these things. Matter of fact, they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to a brow there at the top of the hill, and were going to cast him down headlong. But he passed through their midst. It wasn't his time yet, so the Lord left. So, but here it was at his home synagogue, the place where he had been many times. And they didn't believe what he was saying. And then, of course, after this, we find out he goes into Capernaum. And Capernaum is going to become the place where He stays most of the time. It becomes actually his home, home base, sort of speak. And it all is around here. We find Simon Peter's. This is where he lived, and his family was there. So they were there. And we find that he goes into the synagogue here in Capernaum, and it says in verse 31, and came down to Capernaum in the city of Galilee and taught them on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day went again to the synagogue. And in verse 33 says, and in the synagogue there was a man that which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, and saying, let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? And no, he knew where he came from, Nazareth. And he said, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, and they came out. And and his fame went throughout all, unto every place of the country around about. So his fame became fame. He became more famous. People began to hear more of him. They began to talk about Jesus more, that he was very special. We find out in this, when he was there, the people recognized that he spoke with authority, not with authority as the scribes and the Pharisees, but he spoke with the authority of God, and he commanded. He had a command over these unclean spirits. And the Lord, we're going to see later, actually, in the next chapter, he's going to run into some more spirits that want to proclaim he's the Son of God and all this. That Jesus didn't want that. When the evil spirits started to claim him as knowing who he was and everything, he rebuked them every time. It was an insult to him that they would recognize. He wanted people to recognize him for who he was. But anyway, that's mentioned several times throughout the Gospels. You'll find this whole, the unclean spirits come out, recognize him, wanting to proclaim him and as being the Son of God. But that wasn't what Christ wanted. He wanted people to recognize who he was. But anyway, so then we come to the portion we just read a little bit ago. And he rose up out of the synagogue in verse 38 and went to Simon's wife's mother. And she was taken ill, went to his house here. And it said that they besought him. They knew that he had power to heal, and they besought him that he would take care of the need there at the house. And I believe that's one of the things we need to realize, that God can take care of the problems we have. And there was a need here. I believe that one of the needs was that maybe they needed some help, because we notice an amazing thing is when she is healed here, she immediately rises up, and immediately, it said that, use that word immediately, the fever left her, and immediately she rose up and ministered unto them. She was wanting to do whatever he wanted her to do. She was willing to turn her life over to the Lord here and to minister to whatever the needs were. Let's look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. Now, this is part of the Synoptic Gospel, where you're going to see the same story again here in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. And it says, and when Jesus was come unto Peter's house, he saw his mother's saw his wife's mother lay and sick of the fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many of the who were possessed with the devil, and he cast out the spirits with them, cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all of their all that were sick. And so here in the Matthew's gospel, we're going to be looking a little bit more of that in Luke here in just a minute. And it says, but in Matthew's gospel, he explains here what was going on. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah, that's in the book of Isaiah, the prophet saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, when Jesus was great, saw the great multitudes about him, he gave command that they depart unto the other side. So that's what happened here in Matthew. But I wanted to point out in this particular portion of scripture that he points back to Isaiah 53. We've read it several times, that he borne our sicknesses and carries our griefs. And so that's what they were referring to. Matthew, in his gospel, he recognizes what's happening here. And also in the book of Mark's gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29. Mark's gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29. And it says, and when he had gone a little further, that's not, maybe it is. Oh, I wasn't in 29. That's the reason why. Okay. It says, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. And so in this portion of scripture, they recognize this house belonged to a lot of them. It just wasn't Simon's. It talks about Andrew, James, and John, and maybe they were just following them. Anyway, they all came over to Simon Peter's house. It says, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Again, she ministered unto them. So when she was healed, you know, I believe that when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Lord heals us from our sin sickness. And really, from that point on, we ought to have a desire in our heart to minister unto him, to do what he wants us to do in those things. And that's what happened in this section. So you can see, as you put all three of them together, the three synoptic gospels together, you can see that the Lord, after he left the synagogue, went to Simon Peter's house. And not only him, but also Andrew, James, and John went with him, and they were there. And then Simon's wife's mother was sick, and Jesus met the need of that hour. And you know, it's amazing how the Lord comes in and meets our needs when it's needed. When there's a need there, he can take care of those needs. Sometimes I find I just have to be patient and allow God to do things in his time. So so after that, in chapter 4 here of Luke's gospel, we look down a little bit further, which back in Matthew, he kind of puts all in a couple of verses right after being with Simon's wife's mother and healing her. But this is a little bit further, more explanation of what happened here in Capernaum. It says, now, when the sun was setting, all they that were had sickness and divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And so again, what it said back there in Matthew is exactly what it says here in Luke, that after this, there's enough excitement in the city here of Capernaum that people were realized who Jesus was and that he was able to heal the sick and all these things, and they began to bring the people into him. So we see here, as the sun was setting, all they that were sick, divers diseases, brought them in unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. It says in this verse of scripture, every one of them got healed. So from this point on, the fame of Jesus is going to spread. People are going to know that he was able to do things. That's why in other chapters we'll be able to find a blind man that is able to know that this is Jesus and cried out for healing and these things. And so as his fame went out, and it says in verse 41, again, the devils also came out of them, crying and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffer them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And you would think, you know, a person that was just looking for recognition, they would take recognition any way they could, but the Lord did not want the devils speaking and telling people that he was the Son of God. It was almost like a mockery, is what they were doing. And I think we can read also in the book of Acts. I can't remember exact chapter, but Paul and Barnabas were being followed around by a girl that was possessed with the devil, and she kept crying out that they were the messengers of the high God, and that these men were of God. And finally, Paul got tired of it and rebuked her, and the devil came out of her, and it caused a lot of problems in that time. But anyway, we see here that the Lord, he doesn't want the devils to cry out, so he takes away their speech here. He says, suffer them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And of course, in the apostles, as the gospel writers are writing, they want to tell people that this was the Christ. And so in verse 42, it says, when it was day, he departed and went unto the desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Galilee, in this term, is like the county or something. Galilee is the area. And matter of fact, if we were looking on a map, you'd have Sea of Galilee. Yeah, I knew it was something. Sea of Galilee is here. It's also called Gennesaret. But it's also called by another name. But the whole area around there was called the area of Galilee. And so Capernaum, Nazareth, all of these were in Galilee, the region there. So he had many other places to go and to preach. And as we look through that, we can find out that there are all these little towns, and he stayed in this area quite a while. The Galilean ministry is kind of what it's called here. But as he's there, a lot of people will find out through the gospel here, there's many times they mention Capernaum. And of course, Capernaum has its problems. At the end, I forgot to write it down, but there is the verse of Scripture tells us that he says, woe unto Capernaum, because he did so many miracles there, but yet people were still not believing. And so that's the area in which they were. And when Peter's mother-in-law was healed, she took up the work of the ministry and helped them supply the needs that they had and everything there. So then in chapter 5, it starts moving on a little bit more, and it says in chapter 5, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and people realized, and I believe that the people realized they were hearing the word of God. These were things that had not, maybe they had knew in the temple, that they'd heard the Pharisees and the scribes say, but when Jesus said it, it was in a completely different way. And he was showing them that there was hope in the future. It wasn't just in the kingdom that was coming, but there was hope, and they were going to show, he was showing them all these things. And it says in verse 2, and he saw two ships, standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And as I read through this, I thought, okay, he's going to go out there and teach at this time. And he did. I believe that he did teach the people. The thing is, in this gospel, we don't know what he taught. He doesn't give us a sermon. You know, like sometimes when we go back in the book of Matthew, during some of this time, and I'm sure some of this, because the way the Gospels are written, some of these things have already been taught, and people have already heard this. In Matthew's Gospel, after Simon Peter and it's going to come into the time where Jesus is calling out his disciples, and you're going to see that. But we find out in Matthew, in the same area, we're going to have in chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. All this is going to take place. But here in the ship, it doesn't tell us exactly what he had said. Some of the authors I read after thought that maybe when he went out there, he was explaining more things to them from that. But it's interesting to me that Luke doesn't really tell. He just told them to thrust out, and that he, as he sat there in the boat and taught the people out of the ship. It doesn't really tell us what he taught them, and which I thought was kind of strange. But anyway, all the things in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are all things that have taken place in this time period. And so I'm assuming he probably taught them some of those things, or going over those things with them. But the real portion of this scripture, and the thing that Matthew's or Luke here is trying to show, is the calling of these disciples. It says in the last in verse 4 of Luke chapter 5, it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, and he didn't say too much about that speaking in this portion, but this was the important thing that Luke wanted to get across. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. So he told them to launch out, throw your nets, all your nets out there, and get the fish. And they'd been fishing all night. We're going to see what Simon says here. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's the real key thing in this whole portion of scripture. He's saying, we're seeing here Simon Peter. He's dealing with Simon Peter. Peter, the Lord had just told him, throw out your nets, plural. I know that you probably heard all kinds of sermons on this and everything else, but it's true. I mean, but then this, I believe, as we look into the scriptures, there's little things like this that Luke says. Like I said, I mean, he could have had a whole message in chapter 5 on what he spoke on that he taught them out of the ship. That wasn't his emphasis in this chapter. This chapter is on Peter. Peter, he says, Master, he says, we've toiled all night. I imagine he was pretty tired, kind of like Ben back there. He said he worked all night and he just got here, you know, and he's tired. They worked all night. They're tired. They just cleaned these nets up. Remember, he just said a little bit ago, they were over there cleaning their nets and told him to cast out a little ways. And so now they've got their nets all cleaned and everything. And the Lord says, cast them out for a draw. You're gonna get some fish here. And he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down. I will let down the nets. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net break. Again, that's one net. That net break, and they beckoned unto their partners. This is James and John, and were with them in other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. I mean, when the Lord does something, he does it all the way. I mean, he told them they were going to get fish. He told them to throw out all the nets. And, of course, they elected just to throw one. So they had to then, if they just had one net, they had to put them in that fish. They had to put in the boat and the ship with them. So they were putting all these ship, I want you to imagine this. They're putting all these fish inside the ship, and now it's beginning to sink. I mean, they're in a situation here. And it says, and they beckoned to the other ones, and they came and helped them and filled up both ships so that they began to sink. Then when Simon Peter saw it, he said, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, of the drought of the fish which they had taken. The Lord wanted to show them a miracle here. These guys were professional fishermen. They had been out there all night and had caught nothing. And the funny thing is, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they go out fishing again, you know. And Lord comes along the shore there and ask them if they've caught anything. And what do they say? We've toiled all night. We haven't really caught anything. He said, throw your net on the other side. As soon as they heard him say, throw it on the other side, they ought to knew immediately who it was that was talking to them. Because every time he's told them to go out and to fish, they have caught a lot of fish. And so we see here the confession or repentance of Peter here. In John's gospel, the Lord meets Peter. Let's look at John's gospel. This is the first meeting of Simon, the Lord, and Simon Peter. it's right here in verses. Let's start with verse 41. And he first findeth his brother Simon. This is Andrew. I talked to Simon. Andrew found the Lord first, and he went to Peter, his brother, and he first found his brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpreted a stone. And so that's the first meeting of Simon Peter. This, I believe, is the second meeting in which convinces Peter that this is the Messiah. And so we see that here, and as they were fishing, this was astonishing to them. Matter of fact, it says in that last verse, it says, "And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken." So they all of them, Simon, Peter, James, and John, Andrew was there, and these things. And it says in verse 10, so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is a change in what Luke, in this portion of Scripture, wasn't so much interested in what Jesus taught the people on the shore. He was more interested here on the conversion of Simon Peter, and that the Lord, Peter had known him. Matter of fact, he'd already healed his mother-in-law, and all these things, but in Peter's heart had not been converted yet to the point where he confessed that Jesus was the Lord. He was the Lord, and the Lord tells him, and not only this, but he's going to be fishers of men. And and so in this fifth chapter here, Luke's writing, and we come after this portion of here, it's not seen in the other parts of the synoptic gospel. Then when he gets down to this next portion, "And it came to pass when they saw a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, canst thou make me clean?" Canst make me clean. "And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." And he changed him he charged him to tell no man, but go and to show himself to the priest and offer the clean for the cleaning according as Moses commanded, for the testimony unto them. But so much more went the fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. So we see again in this portion of Scripture, this is a section that Luke puts in here is also part of the synoptic gospels, because it again is seen in Luke, in Matthew chapter 8, and in Mark chapter 1, just the same places. So when you're reading those others, you don't get the message here that Luke put in here about Simon Peter. Basically is what I'm saying. As you read through Matthew and you read through Mark, you see the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, and you see the man healed from his leprosy. And I think here in Luke is the only one that says he was full of leprosy. Again, that tells a little bit about Luke. He's the doctor. He looks at it, and not only was he had a little leprosy, just didn't have a spot. He was full of leprosy. And so there's little differences in the synoptic gospel, and the differences, some of the differences, is when things change, like this portion right here, where the miracle of the fish, that he the many fish that they draw out, and all of this was done so that Peter and those disciples that he's soon going to call as his apostles, their minds are fixed on Christ. They realize he is the Messiah. And even to the point later in the gospel, as they travel with Jesus, they recognize that he is the Son of God, and they proclaim him. Who else? Peter said at one time when everybody was leaving him, he said, "Where else can we go? You're the Son of God." They knew who he was. So we'll stop right there this morning, and let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God. And Father, help us to realize and know, Lord, that you're taking care of all of our needs. Lord, even when things don't look like things are going right, but yet, Lord, we know that you're taking care of us. And we can cast all of our cares upon you because we know, Lord, that you care for us. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for each person that's come this morning. Now, Lord, we ask that as the pastor comes and he proclaims your word, Lord, that you'd hide him behind the cross. Lord, that your words might touch our heart. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work in our lives, that we'd be able to know that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. We just ask, Lord, that you hide our pastor behind the cross. You give him the words to say. Open our ears, Lord, that we might be able to hear. But most of all, open our hearts that we'd receive that word. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.